We're doing the Avat Chesed. We're going back to the footnote in the sixth chapter of being Misameach Chatan, making a Chatan happy. And the Chafetz Chaim had been elaborating on the prohibition of mixed dancing. Aside from all the aforementioned issues, a person is also transgressing the prohibition of Lo Tikrivu Ligalot Erva. The Torah prohibits coming close to an illicit relationship. As we know, the halachic authorities write, whenever we have a virgin, there's a girl that's not yet wed, well, she halachically has the halachic status of a nida. The assumption is that she's had her onset at least once in her lifetime. From the time she reaches of age, we assume she's had an onset, and then she's biblically prohibited. Even if she were wed, she'd be biblically prohibited to her husband. So then the prohibition is the prohibition like the illicit relationships that are Yehorik Val Yavor. That the Torah says a person should rather give up his life than transgress Gilei Arayos. So once a woman is a Nida, so then that prohibition applies as well. Sometimes people hug and kiss as they're dancing. And as Maimonides writes, that one who hugs and kisses one of the women that the Torah prohibits, what's called arayos, the prohibited relationships, when he's doing it in a manner of love, even without intimacy, there is the prohibition, lo tikrivu. The Torah says, don't come close to being intimate with one of these prohibited relations. And one would get the punishment of Malchus over that. And undoubtedly, this type of hugging is going to be prevalent as one's desire is burning within. So it's a very clear sin. The Chafetz Chaim says one who does mixed dancing is disqualified from being a witness or taking a vow in court. If they ask him to be a witness in his friend's wedding, he should say, I can't. Because technically he's disqualified. As the Rambam and the halachic authorities write in Hevnei Ezer, the halacha agrees with the Rambam that this is completely prohibited, and one who transgresses this has disqualified himself. And as is written, in the Codex, the one who transgresses a biblical commandment freely is disqualified biblically from giving testimony. The discussion is when we don't know if a person transgresses freely, where we suspect he's transgressing freely, where the halacha says that a person can get punished by the courts just because he has a bad reputation. People are talking that he's doing things that are immodest. The courts have a license to punish him. But when we know he's done things that are improper, then he's not qualified to testify. It's very difficult to say that all these people that are doing mixed dancing, they must think that it's okay. They're not willfully transgressing. He says, even if you'd make that argument, that would only be an argument to say that maybe these people should be qualified for testimony. That doesn't mean that the act is not a sinful act. The Chafetz Chaim writes very clearly, this is an extension of the prohibitions that the Torah says one should rather give up one's life than transgress. How terrible it is for those who transgress this without thinking twice over this. The Chafetz Chaim says we have to realize the severity of this. Veda od. Next, he says, I want you to know another thing. And this is another area where people very often slip. I would have a standard conversation with yeshiva guys in Merkaz Harav after they'd get engaged. I'd tell them, now you have to be even more careful in the prohibitions of modesty between you and your kala, because I certainly hope that you have strong emotions for your kala, and that means you have to be more careful not to transgress. Even a woman who's destined to be his wife. For example, it was common practice, and today Hasidim still do this, that when people would agree that they're going to get married, what we today call engagement, they would write up a contract. It's called tinoim. So even after you've written up a contract, and in that contract, you're basically saying, I obligate myself to marry you on this date, and she obligates herself to marry him on that date. So you might say, we're already bound to one another? No, gan ken asu b'chol adrim anal. That doesn't permit any of the prohibitions of touching or being alone together. V'chen b'isul yichudim ha. He's prohibited from being alone with her, k'mo in kol anashim, no different than any other woman. The prohibition of yichud is just as relevant. There's no room to permit this, even though they've tied the knot, so to speak, in this agreement that they're going to wed. And even if she weren't a nida, even if for whatever reason she went to mikvah, let's say she's a giyoret. So she went to mikvah 2 days ago. So now technically she's pure. But that doesn't matter. I'm just saying, ordinarily, a non-married woman doesn't go to mikvah. So how do you have a scenario where a woman would go to mikvah? I'm saying if she's a giyoret, so you could have a scenario where she went to mikvah, and then she hasn't had a period since then. So she's pure. So technically, she's not a nida. I'm saying, ordinarily, any girl you're going to date or get engaged to is a nida. She's had her onset. She never had the cleanliness and the 7 days of cleanliness before going to mikvah, and she's never gone to mikvah. Ordinarily, non-married women don't go to mikvah. So I'm saying you can have a scenario, theoretically, if she was mitgayer. So even if she was pure, it would still be prohibited, because she's not his wife. Even more so, that all the girls are a nida, so there's another level of prohibition. That's why it's prohibited to be alone with her. Certainly it's prohibited to hug or kiss her, and that's biblically prohibited. And then you have a lot of people who think that once they're engaged, it's okay. They go to all kinds of places alone. He says, undoubtedly, this is an obvious sin. And people mess up. You know, unfortunately, it happens. And the Chafetz Chaim says, when they come to the world to come, they're going to be taken to task over this. And he says, I promise them. He doesn't promise, but he says that there's still a punishment waiting for them in this world as well. So this is practical advice. You don't want to mess up. Be realistic. I remember when my wife and I, we were engaged, and we went to check out an apartment. So we went up to the top floor. It was the apartment we ultimately rented the first years we were married. And we come to the apartment. We have the key. And then we have to go in and see the apartment. So I tell my wife, what are we going to do about Yichud? So my wife answered me a correct answer. She said, the door's unlocked. Anyone could come in. What's the problem? So I looked down, and I looked up, and I looked down, and I said, who are we kidding? No one's coming up these steps. There are two apartments at the top floor. This one and the one across the hall. If people are home across the hall, I'll knock on the door and ask them that they could come in whenever they want. But if no one's home across the hall, the fact that potentially, theoretically, midday, they might come home and then peek their head into this apartment, no one else is coming up here. People don't come up to the top floor of an apartment building, stam, you know. You can't say this isn't yichud because the door's unlocked. And even though, theoretically, there are times where you could say that, here in the city, it's not normal that people stick their heads into one another's houses. In certain yeshuvim, it's common practice that people will go into one another's houses. It's not right. The Talmud says it's improper. But there are still places where that's the norm. So if that's the norm, so you could say it's not yichud when the door's unlocked or the door's open. But here in the city, if you come to your neighbor's house and the door's open, you knock. You don't walk in. If you walk in, usually it's not considered being polite. So I told her, look, you go in, I'll wait outside. Then I'll go in and you'll wait outside. So that's this idea that a person has to be careful, especially when they're engaged.
So even the door being open, it's still...
You got to be realistic. Before we left Givat Shaul, the last 7 years, we lived in a ground floor apartment. Anyone who entered the building would walk by our door. And you could see in, so wherever you could see from the front door, being that there's traffic, there's constant people going in and out, there were a lot of young families, a lot of kids, you had people going, mothers, fathers, going up and down, so you never had privacy. If the door was open, you knew people were seeing inside. So anywhere that they could see from the front door, you could say, that's not yichud, I'm in a public place. But if I'm on a top floor, no one can see, the odds that someone's going to show are close to nil. I don't really think anyone might show. You can't say that's not yichud. You're in an office building. It's only you and the secretary. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're working on a project. Do you really think someone might walk in at any second? You can't say that. It's not yichud. The door's unlocked. Yeah, but you don't really think anyone's showing. And by allowing oneself to be so close with the girl he's engaged to, when they're not yet permitted, so a person ends up making many mistakes, and they're sinful mistakes. Our sages already gave the following allegory. They said, we tell a nazir, if you're prohibited to drink wine, don't go through the vineyard, go around the vineyard. Meaning, don't pass the fence, because then you're right near the prohibition. You don't want to fall in that. Certainly, in our example, we're just coming close is already prohibited. It's not even a fence. There's a prohibition from coming close, from being, from hugging or kissing or touching a girl until you're married or until it's permitted. So that's... that's the first recommendation the Chafetz Chaim gave us here. Regarding being careful, be it mixed dancing, be it being alone, be it even after engagement, to take to heart that things are still prohibited.